You're listening to the Locked In Podcast. Here's your host, Algernon Cash.
I'm Algernon Cash, and you're locked in. Welcome back. I've got a really special episode this week. So typically, you're used to me bringing someone in for our public affairs conversation. This is the show where we talk about business and politics and what's happening in the news. But today I've got a really special show lined up. This is actually more of a roundtable where you're going to get an opportunity to meet some really good friends of mine. We're going to have a conversation today about faith, family, and business. And none of these people really know one another, or I think two of them know each other, but they don't all know each other. I've spoken with all of them offline, and they have so much in common. So I'm so excited about the conversation, because I think at the end of this discussion, we're going to have some new friends and people are going to make some new connections. Before we do that, we always want to thank our sponsors. If you are a sponsor of the Locked In program, if you are a subscriber of the Locked In program, thank you so much, because the content that we're producing is absolutely free to the user, doesn't cost anyone anything to share in these conversations that we put together. But they would be impossible without our sponsors. So thank you all for supporting us. And if you want to become a sponsor, go to our Facebook page. It's actually the first post there. You can click on the link and you can actually subscribe to the Locked In program. So make sure you consider doing that. Jump over to YouTube, become a YouTube subscriber, follow what we do on Instagram and Twitter. And so with all that said, I am so happy to introduce Jeff Phillips, James Wheeler, and Emily Saunders. They're all locking in with me this week. How you guys doing?
Doing great.
Good to be
having
here.
A great day.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you know, I started out my commentary saying that all of you don't know one another. But in fact, Jeff, you and James actually do know one another. And James and I was talking offline when we were prepping and getting ready for this episode. James, before we kick, as we kick in, man, talk a little bit about the connection that you have with Jeff Phillips. This is a little bit of a reunion for you all.
Yeah, it's been a little while since I've seen Jeff, but Greensboro is small. Actually, Jeff's daughter, Heather, and I went to high school together, and that was the original connection. And then, you know, Jeff's work with Midtown Financial Advisors, his partner, Brad Smith, has been a mentor for me in the business, and you know, always has good things to say about Jeff behind his back, or at least mostly good things. So been keeping some tabs on him.
That's incredible. So Jeff, you had forgotten that story.
Well, I did. Thank you. I remember James going to school with Heather, but didn't know so much the connection with Brad, my partner, but that he's a, you know, James mentor, and Brad's, that, you know, that's not uncommon for Brad. He's mentored a lot of young men in the business and in life. And so I'm not surprised that he has that connection with James.
That's awesome. I have a special connection with James that I want you all to know about as well. I met James when he was in high school, and I had spent an entire day. I was a part of a program in Greensboro called Future Sense, where we were educating kids about financial literacy and how to make better decisions with money. And we spent an entire day at Northwestern. I met so many kids that day, I probably lost my mind by the end of the day, but I did seven periods that day, seven periods. And we talked about financial literacy with these high school kids. James was one of them. And of course, after that, we didn't necessarily maintain contact. But I was out at a project that I was working on maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and I saw a young man come in, and he kept staring at me. And I said, well, I just got through eating a burger. So I said, well, maybe I got something on my face or something. And finally he came over and introduced himself, and he reminded me about how we initially met. And I tell you, it really brought tears to my eyes, because you never really know how you're sewing into someone or the impact that you're going to have. And so that's a little bit about what this conversation is today about. We're going to talk about faith, family, and business. And James, I want to start with you, since I just shared that story. Talk a little bit about, you're over at Northwestern, you're helping people, your business is to help people learn how to manage their money and manage risk. But I think you see your role as much larger than that. Talk a little bit about what you do day to day at Northwestern.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and Jeff and I were just talking a little bit about this, but the majority of my time is really spent coaching clients. And I, you know, what I found is when people hear the term financial planning, something comes to mind that's different for everybody. And ultimately what we're really talking about is helping people reach their personal, professional, and financial goals. And so a lot of times when people are talking about money, what they're really talking about is what they want to do for their family, what they want to do for themselves, the people and the companies and the charities that they want to impact. And money is really just a tool to be able to do all of those things. And so what people are looking for is strategy. They're looking for guidance. A lot of times when people have these hopes and dreams and they're not written on paper, they're not incredibly well thought out, it's hard to hit a goal. And so how do we make sure that we get a plan in place and a roadmap and then some accountability to actually help us get there? And then about, I want to say around 3 years ago, September, so almost 3 years ago, I also got into a leadership role with Northwestern Mutual. So myself and another colleague, Jeff Jackman, about 25 to 30% of our time is spent mentoring other new advisors in the business. And it's, you know, on paper, our job is to help them build a profitable, sustainable practice and make sure that they, you know, they actually know what they're talking about when it comes to people's money. But it really becomes more of a mentoring relationship and pouring into them personally as well.
You know, I like a lot of what you said, James, because you not once did I hear you say, hey, I just sell life insurance policies or I just help open investment accounts. You're really connecting what you do day to day to a much larger purpose. And, you know, Emily, I want to bring you into the conversation as well, because you're a serial entrepreneur. You're involved in multiple different types of businesses. I've been very honored to get to know you and your husband, Wiggy. And it sounds like what you do day to day isn't as much about making money and profits, but it has a lot to do with the impact that you want to make in other people's lives. Emily, tell us a little bit about the various businesses that you and Wiggy are involved in.
Sure. Well, I think the easiest thing to do is to go back to the beginning. So he started medical school 2 weeks after we got married. And then decided pretty early into that process that he wanted to do something a little bit different and ended up moving into an integrative medicine role. Really had some great mentors along the way that helped him feel okay that he wasn't going after the most prestigious specialty and that kind of thing, but instead really following what he felt God was calling him to do, which was help people actually get better. And had some great mentors along the way. In 2013, right when he became a part of his practice, we had our first child. And I had been in banking and the corporate world prior to that, ran a recruiting firm for a while, those kinds of things. And decided that after our son was born that I did not want to go back into all of that, but didn't really have a plan at the time. I tried to be a stay-at-home mom and it only lasted about 2 weeks. And so I was losing my mind and my husband, you know, said, hey, why don't you use some of these things you've been doing kind of on the side and let's start something new. So my partner, Debbie, and I started a business called Mom Sanity in 2013 when our son was just a baby, and it started as a faith, fitness, motherhood, and nutrition kind of collaboration because no one was doing all of those things together. And that was what I needed for myself. And so, we started with that and, have since moved into almost fully a product-based business. And, then in 2015, when I was pregnant with our second son, Wiggy and I started a company that is toxic-free kids products called Raise Them Well. And again, out of a necessity of things that we could not find for our family, there were so many holes in the market that were not niches of people that were not being served well. And so, you know, we kind of have both have that entrepreneurial spirit. We both grew up in family businesses that said, well, if no one else is doing it, then why don't we? And really, that's what they've done with their practice, Robin Hood Integrative Health, where he practices medicine as well. And then 2 years ago, we took over a ministry / business. It's really more of a ministry called Cross Training Couture that we put God's truth on a tank or a hoodie is what we say, and really try to get more conversation around truth and God's word out in the fitness community, really. So a lot of health and wellness, but really trying to serve families in new ways. And I love being able to, like you said, serve the community. And sometimes, some days, the biggest impact is not in what's happening as far as how many sales are coming in, but instead the relationships that can be built and made sometimes around business. And sometimes it's just connections that are made elsewhere in the community.
Well, you know, Emily, as you spoke, I can hear the passion and the strong sense of purpose in everything that you and Wiggy have going on. And, you all are busy. You've got four kids too, in addition to everything else that you just described. And so I'm sort of curious, as a mom, how do you balance all that against some of the family needs?
That's a great question. A couple of years ago, around 2015, before we had our second son, I began to realize that I really needed to outsource some of the things that I was doing, realizing I wasn't going to be able to do it all and do it well. And so really, I started with the things that I wasn't good at and I didn't like doing. And so I found some really key resources to help me with that. And we now have a team of, I don't know how many. We have a team of all other women who are generally, you know, work at home moms, working part time. And it really is a great team because we work very well together and everyone has their little piece. And it also allows all of us to serve our families well in the meantime, because I don't claim to do it all and do it all well. It really, and I don't even know that the word balance is a real thing. Like, something's always out of balance. And I'm kind of one of those people in the mindset that you can have it all, but you can't have it all at the same time. And so there are a lot of different shifting priorities that have to happen on a daily, sometimes minute by minute basis, because I never know when I'm going to get a phone call from school or whatever that might look like too. And I want to be able to spend these years when my kids are little to make sure to prioritize the things that are important with them, and also to be able to prioritize the business. So it's kind of a constant shift. It's kind of like a teeter-totter versus a balance, you know. It's kind of like it's constantly shifting. It's never in full balance. So, but you have to kind of be okay with that, because it allows us to pursue and achieve so much more on so many more levels when we just are willing to be flexible.
Yeah, I'm happy you don't use the word balance. I actually don't subscribe to work life balance. I use the word synergy. I think everything has to synergize. And someone like me, I have multiple roles, a lot of different areas of life, you know, community, personal, family, business. But there's you have to find some synergy between all those areas so that they work together, they feed on each other, and you create more momentum that continues to sort of uplift you and causes you to have this upward mobility. Someone else I know that's really good at synergizing is Jeff Phillips. Jeff, you run a business, you've got a family, you got grandkids. I know you're also a big community advocate. When I met you, you've also always done a lot of passion work with the homeless community in Greensboro. You are also a county commissioner, not just a regular county commissioner, but a highly active chairman of the commissioner board. Jeff, do you subscribe to balance, or is it synergy that allowed all those things to work together?
Well, people ask me all, I've had people say this and ask me all the time, you know, either I don't know how you do it, do all that you do, or, you know, I couldn't do what you do. It's impossible to even imagine. And I think when I hear that from folks, I just, my mind automatically goes to, yes, I am a, kind of an A-type personality. I don't really like that term, frankly, but I'm a doer. Let's put it that way. Much like James and Emily, and for heaven's sake, you, we're all doers, obviously. And I learned a long time ago, and there's lots of reasons we don't have to talk about today, don't have time to talk about today, but that, you know, I wanted my, I knew I wanted my life to matter, and I also didn't take for granted how much time I was going to be here, you know, on this earth, for it to matter. So, for whatever reasons, I give the credit to the Lord, you know, fully as to why that's within me, because that's not something I mustered up. Certainly, I've got a lot of experiences that fostered some of that kind of thinking and that kind of philosophy, if you will, for life. But I just attribute, you know, the only way I've been able, I think, number one, to have the passion for serving my community, serving others, you know, and really above all else, making sure my family is a priority in the process. You know, I say this with all humility, not bragging in the least, but Lori and I will be married 39 years.
Wow.
On July 31st, which is insane if you knew the backstory, but insane in a good way. But I say all that to say they are, you know, she's the glue that holds us together in terms of our family. They're the backbone, my family, of my existence on earth. So they are always a priority, which, you know, to your question to Emily earlier, is sometimes not easy, you know, call it balance or whatever you choose. It's not easy, but man, God's been faithful to provide the strength that I need, the, you know, the purpose behind, the strength, and really just a determination to finish well at whatever it is that He puts before me. And I think it's that kind of, you know, it's that kind of spirit, if you will, that I find common amongst, you know, the four of us here, and people who really get it done, get things done for the sake of others. And so may not have answered your question directly, but that's some of my, perspective to help understand sort of how in the world I'm motivated to do some of the things that I've done. And I think, generally speaking, done them well. And I give the Lord the credit for that.
Yeah, you know, and there's a general theme as I listen to all of you speak. You know, each one of you have given, you know, credit to your faith and God. All of you are speaking of Christian principles. You know, Jeff, I know you very well offline, so the question I'm asking is really more for my audience, because I want them to be able to learn from you and, you know, hear about your experience. I mean, just really, how critical is that faith and that strong Christian belief? How critical and central is that to everything you've got going on? And then also maybe talk about, how do you keep that front and center with the world we're living in these days?
Yeah, I mean, it is. Frankly, I get a little emotional to even contemplate the answer to your question. But it's absolutely the core, at the core of my existence. I mean, that's really how I see my faith, my relationship with the Lord. You know, it's imperfect at best on my part. I mean, admittedly, and I'm ever learning and growing and trying to seek Him and His guidance and His wisdom, you know, for, you know, anything that's significant in my life. And I think while that's a challenging, that's, you know, I mean, Jesus said, seek first His, you know, if you seek His kingdom first, you know, put Him first in every way, that then He is going to be faithful to provide for you and take care of your needs and, you know, deliver. And I think that's what He's always done in my life. And since I accepted Him as my Lord and Savior at 10 years old. So it's not been a perfect, you know, experience. It's been bumpy along the way, but He's always been faithful. So I think always being able to reflect back on those experiences that sort of brought me to here is a lot of the answer, you know. So drawing on what he's done for me, the miracles I've seen him, you know, do in my life, I think that's a lot of how, that's what keeps me grounded. And I think continues to remind me of my purpose while I'm here on earth.
You know, James, you're new to business. You're also a new family guy. You've got married. You actually adopted some kids. I know I've learned that from talking with you offline. James, talk about your faith, man. I mean, I heard you mention that you obviously are Christian. You're young. How important is that to everything you've got going on and just now starting your career and starting to build your family?
Yeah, absolutely. One clarification. We have not adopted yet. We are going to, but we are licensed foster care workers. And we've also got two children of our own, Jamie and Conrad. And, you know, some of what you and I have talked about specifically with the adoption part of it is just, to me, the entire gospel is just a story of adoption, of how, I mean, it's amazing to me how complex God is compared to the way that we can think, and how wise he is compared to how we can understand anything. And, you know, I constantly think about how anything God ever asks me to do or puts on my plate, he doesn't need me to do it. I mean, he could say a word and it would happen. And out of love, he's invited me into being able to be a part of that, to glorify him. And so the Bible says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. And so whether that's with my family, you know, 5.5 years ago when I started this journey as a financial advisor, with church relationships, with friends, discipling, whatever it may be, there's always a very real sense that whatever I'm doing to someone else, I'm really doing it as if it's unto the Lord. And there's a real weightiness to that. And I don't always do it perfectly. My wife can tell you that. But that's why I also think that who you surround yourself with is really important. I had a friend the other day that made a comment to the effect of, sometimes your wife can almost act like a second Holy Spirit, in a way of, you know, kind of catching you and have a tendency to see the things in you that you don't see, whether it's things that you should be strengthening or things that you should be stopping. And thankfully, I've married a wonderful woman, you know, not anywhere close to 39 years, but we'll be celebrating 8 years on June 1st. Mm-hmm. And that's gone by way faster than I'd care to admit. There's a very real sense where I know that if I'm seeking after God and ultimately the goal is to glorify him, that he'll bless my path for him. And if it's about me, there's never going to be any satisfaction there in the long run, even if it's temporarily.
James, I'm going to break a rule and do something you're never supposed to do when you host a show, but I'm going to ask you your age. How old are you?
28.
You're not speaking like most 28-year-olds, and certainly not speaking the way I was speaking when I was 28 years old. Now, I know I'm a great speaker, so I probably inspired you to be this way, but all jokes aside, what do you credit this to? As I listen to you speak and the way you talk about your wife and your kids and, you know, your faith and what you're trying to do in life, you don't sound like a lot of other 28-year-olds. Why is there such a difference?
Yeah. The short answer is it's the grace of God, honestly. You know, you and I have talked a little bit about this, but just a little bit of my upbringing. You know, my parents got divorced when I was in seventh grade, and it was just not a great situation. You know, money was never really talked about in the house or anything like that. But I just remember the way that my mom loved us and raising five kids, you know, on her own, but also not by herself. I was blessed with incredible grandparents. We've always had, church relationships that would help however they could. But just seeing the way that my mom modeled loving after family, I just remember being aware of things from a very young age that I don't think most people were aware of or exposed to. And my grandfather, my dad's dad, who I called Papa, was my best friend until the day he passed away. And I would call him every day when I would get off work in my first year with Northwestern Mutual. And he passed away when I was about 11 months in the business, but he was just a rock in my life where I would call him. And I've been fortunate to be blessed to know some great men and, you know, constantly getting to hear all the mistakes that they've made, because if there's something that men are good at, it's making mistakes and getting to learn from a lot of what they've done and trying not to repeat too many of their mistakes.
Hey, man, that's incredibly profound. And you and Emily actually have something in common. Emily, you just adopted a child. Isn't that correct?
Two, actually, yes.
Two. So you just adopted two children. So that's something that you and James actually have in common. I was really, when I heard you talk about it offline, I heard him talk about it offline, I thought that was really interesting. Talk about that. How much of a challenge or how rewarding is it to adopt children?
Well, I think like James, so we adopted out of foster care. We have two bio kids as well. So two bio sons and two adopted sons now, which that's really fresh. Our adoption was finalized a week ago Monday. So it's very new, but we've had them for 2.5 years. So it's like everything's changed and nothing's changed at the same time. It's really a bizarre place to sit. But we, you know, God called us into foster care. I mean, that's all I can say. People ask us all the time, or they'll say, oh, well, that's just so great that you did that. I mean, how did you decide to do that? And truly, it was a journey that he put us on to bring us to the yes that he already had planned, similar to what James is mentioning. And it really has been one of the most fruitful, while challenging and fruitful decisions of our entire lives. We've been married for 16 years, and my husband has a sister who was adopted as a toddler from internationally. And he always, because of some rifts that caused in their family, and he was staunchly against adoption for the longest time. Meanwhile, I grew up playing Orphan Annie, but really, God, like, he pulled us together and he changed my husband's heart in a huge way. And it's just, I mean, really the full journey has been about 4 years now, I would say. And here we are, and it's been wild and in all of the most blessed and beautiful ways, because I can really see the provision of his timing. As James knows, foster care is a roller coaster. You know, you get through one thing and then it's on to the next. And of course, the goal is always reunification. And that's wonderful when that can happen. And we get to participate in when we can participate in families reunifying and parents and improving their lives and preparing to better care for their kids, and we can love the kids and stand in the gap. That's wonderful. That doesn't happen as often as I think most of us hope that it would. And there is a system in place, and that system, just like any other systems, sometimes works really well and sometimes it doesn't work at all. And when you get into foster care, you learn about all of it very quickly. And, you know, there are lots of peaks and valleys, and there are lots of hurdles to jump over. And it really is like a marathon to the end. And so standing here on the other side of it, where there's no more battles to face, and it's really surreal. Like, we just kind of are like, oh my goodness, we have an adoption decree. Their new birth certificates are on the way, and it still feels like it's a dream. So all that to say, it's been very rewarding and very challenging, and the best yes that we've ever said as a family.
I think that's incredible, and congratulations. And unfortunately, we have reached the part of the show that I hate the absolutely most, because I have to start to wrap us up because we're running out of time. But this has been an incredible roundtable conversation. And I know that my audience that was listening has gotten as much out of it as I have. Thank you all for agreeing to lock in and do this. You're all very busy people, and I appreciate you taking some time to just join. I hope that all of you will actually stay in touch and connect with each other outside of the show, because you have so much in common that you all should be in each other's circle. And James, for you, Tim Moore was listening and he wanted to make sure he said hello, that you are one of his longtime buds, and just wanted you to know that he was listening today. And to my audience, I appreciate y'all locking in. You just heard from Emily Saunders, who's a serial entrepreneur. You also heard from James Wheeler, who's with Northwestern Mutual, as well as Jeff Phillips, who's with Midtown Financial Advisors out of Greensboro. All three small business owners that are keeping their faith and their family at the very center and core of their business. And this is what our show is about. I'm so incredibly blessed and grateful to have such great relationships. And I love putting these conversations together because, one, I learn more about my own friends when I do these conversations, but then the audience gets to listen in and they get to learn and use some of what we were talking about to apply in their own life. And again, as I said at the outset, if you like the content that I am producing, we need your support. And you can do that by subscribing to our Locked In program for as little as $5 a month. You can be a subscriber and you can support the content that I'm producing. What doesn't cost you anything, though, is that there's a little button down there that says like, and you can click it. You can click that other button that says share. You can go out and tell a friend about the conversation that you heard today. And you can do all those things that don't cost you anything. I do want to say, and I'm about to embarrass somebody on the show before we wrap. We had a good show, but I'm going to embarrass one of y'all. Two of my three guests are subscribers to the Locked In program. Mr. Phillips, we need your support, sir. We need you to subscribe.
Oh, this was a hardball one.
We need you to subscribe. Two of my three guests are subscribers, and I want to thank Emily and James for doing so. Mr. Phillips will be sending you a link here after the show so we can get you signed up. But all jokes aside, again, y'all, thank y'all for doing this. If I can ever be a resource to you, you know that I am here. To my audience, make sure you check out YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. Listen for us on WTOB as well as WCOG. And until next time, y'all stay locked in.
The executive producer of the Locked In podcast is Algernon Cash for WCG. The associate producer is Tim Beeman for Such and Such Media. The views and opinions in this podcast are solely those of the contributors and are not necessarily those of our distributors or hosting company. This podcast is copyrighted and cannot be reproduced without express written consent of WGC.